jerked his head toward the parapets.
When I was talking with Nathan, he mentioned a man, Red Roger. The same thing happened to him. A prisoner escaped from the gallows and hid in his house, holding the farmer's pregnant wife hostage so Roger could swear the man wasn't there to the Baron. It worked, and when the sick men went away, the prisoner chilled them both. Nathan knows what will happen the minute Overton seizes control. He took a big chance telling me this.
Well, that's what Overton has to control Nathan.
J.B. rested his backside on a corner of the desk, one boot dangling freely.
What does the Baron have to hold back Overton?
His troops control the hunting dogs, plus the armory.
Dean whistled, and J.B. cursed.
Indeed. So if Overton pushes too hard, or terminates Tabitha...
Front Royal gets loudly removed from the landscape.
Ryan looked at Mildred in concern, but the physician waved the incident aside.
Just phlegm. Perfectly normal.
Dean sat cross-legged on the bedspread.
Are there enough explosives in the armory to really destroy the whole fortress? It's an awful big place.
More than enough. We know how to make black powder here, and Leville Gunsmith stores the excess in barrels for selling to other barons. He's a drunk, but a friend. We can count on help from him and his staff.
Sadly, Mildred and Clem informed Ryan of the earlier execution. The man's expression didn't change, but they knew his confidence in the plan was reduced. J.B. removed his hat completely and rubbed his hair.
A blaster fight in a powder mill. Dark night, what a shithole we've walked into.
Kin helps kin. Nathan would do the same.
Yeah, he would, I suppose.
We need to stage a diversion. Get the sec man busy doing something else, then we can chill Overton. Have to be big.
Really big. Any ideas?
Withdrawing his knife, Clem started dry shaving his neck to the sound of sandpaper on stone.
Sure. We rescue the wife. Fortress ain't that large. How tough can it be?
Nathan must have already searched everywhere for her.
Well, we look someplace he ain't yet.
Which is where?
The barracks.
Ryan said bolt upright.
Fire blast. Overton's troops have taken over the old barracks. That would be the only place Nathan couldn't search. Hell, there's even a punishment room in the basement. My father used it when a sec man needed discipline, but he didn't want to whip the men in front of the people.
Slowly, J.B. nodded.
Sounds good to me.
I'm for it.
No, we don't free Tabitha.
The companions stared at Christy, then began to smile among themselves.
She's right. We don't free Tabitha. We free everybody in the barracks. Gotta be more than just her in there. Man has got a lot of enemies.
The sec man will go crazy hunting down the escapees. Without the hostages, Overton is powerless.
Allowing us to get Overton. Told you it was easy.
I'll ask the staff to bring me lots of hot water for tea.
Mildred dragged her medical kit closer and opened the flap.
This is a pregnant woman we'll be hauling around, and we better be ready for anything. The excitement of a rescue could cause an early birth, depending upon what trimester she's in.
Then she closed the flap.
No, damn it. I can't ask for hot water. They know I'm a healer. It's too suspicious.
White sheets.
Jack pointed at the bed. Dean and Christy moved off the bed as Mildred yanked off the blankets and closely inspected the sheets.
Lightly bleached, no starch. These will do fine. But I'll also need some clean twine and a sterile knife. Jack?
The teenager produced a slim blade.
Sharpest I got.
J.B. donated a spare bootlace as the companion sliced the bedsheets into usable pieces. Mildred carefully stored them in her bag as swaddling for the newborn, while Jack cleansed the knife blade over a candle flame. That, too, was wrapped in the clean cloth and tucked into the bag.
After we get Tabitha, we better hide her someplace good. The sec men will go mad trying to get her back into their custody.
Clem was polishing his long blaster.
What about Daphne? He sure owes us. Hide her there. After the sec men let him go, he went to Benton. That hamlet is only 10 minutes away by wag.
Digging in a pocket, Ryan jingled the keys.
Want to ride guard with Mildred?
Done so before.
Clem winked at the physician.
I think I can stand her for a little bit more.
Ryan tossed the keys, and the hunter caught them, tucking them into his vest.
Time is against us. The longer we stay, the worse the situation gets for Nathan.
And after the Baron, we're next on the hit list.
Only if we fail.
Kneeling on the floor, Ryan used the point of his knife to scratch an outline on the flagstone.
Okay. Here is the barracks, the buildings alongside, an alleyway leading to the moat for trash, main street, side street, horse corral and tack room.
Open courtyard with almost no cover. Gonna be tough trying to sneak through the door. Any chance of a roof hatch or a coal chute, something like that?
Nothing. The building is as tight as a drum. That's why it was chosen as the site for the barracks. But maybe we don't have to sneak in. Maybe we can make them invite us inside.
How are we going to do that? Ask pretty please?
Yes, exactly correct. Hell, they'll beg us to get inside as fast as possible.
The hill man raised an eyebrow, but didn't comment.
What bothers me is how much information Overton has about this place and about you. Where you used to get laid, the layout of the ville, where to hide Nathan's wife. There's a traitor, somebody working with Overton who knows you extremely well and hates Nathan.
Yeah, I know.
No idea who?
The Deathlands warrior stood, the panga tight in his grip, the razor-sharp edge of the blade reflecting candlelight across the people in the bedroom.
If I knew who, they'd be dead already.
Sure you want in on this, Clem? This is our fight. You can just walk away.
Be bloodbath.
Yeah, it sure could. And Bob wouldn't have helped. Would have said it weren't none of our biz. But me? I'm just itching to try out this fancy blaster. Six shots, damn.
Ryan clapped the man on the shoulder.
Glad to have you with us, amigo.
Well, of course you are. Shit, who wouldn't be?
The companions chuckled at the bravado, and the bedroom soon filled with metallic clicks and clacks as weapons were prepared for battle.
When do we move?
Dean impatiently jacked the slide on his Browning high power. Walking over, Ryan squinted at the boy.
You tell me. When would Overton least be expecting any action on our part?
Knowing this was another test, Dean thought hard for a few minutes before answering.
It's almost dawn. We should wait until nightfall, then hit the barracks at midnight. No, wait a tick. The clock in the bell tower will wake everybody up, make them alert. So we go tomorrow night, say 30 minutes after midnight. Just enough time for the guards to relax again.
Nice to have known you.
JB grimly checked the contents of his munitions bag.
Bad call. The longer we wait, the worse our position.
And we need every ounce of surprise to pull this off.
Christy was rubbing out the scratches on the floor.
What now? At dawn?
Outside, some birds were chirping, and a horse whinnied as it was forced awake to start the work of the day.
Right now.
Ryan worked the slide on his hand blaster and chambered a fresh round as he headed for the door. A few minutes later, there was a loud knock on the front door to the barracks, and a sleepy sec man rose from his wooden stool to swing open the tiny conversation hatch in the thick door.
Yeah?
The corporal's voice was rough with sleep.
We have a new prisoner.
A smiling guard in a blue shirt spoke through the grilled portal. The sec man stepped aside, and the dirty face of Ryan Cotter filled the view for a second.
Hot damn!
The corporal rushed to push aside the iron bolts locking the door.
How the hell did we get him so soon?
You didn't.
Ryan fired through the crack of the opening door. The silenced pistol was no louder than a cough, but Overton's sec man staggered backward, his chest spraying blood from the multiple wounds. He groaned, then slumped onto a table, rattling the dirty dishes and wine bottles. Rushing inside, the remaining companions dragged in two more dead guards from the street. Hauling the live blue shirt aside, Jack brutally rammed the head of the captive against the wall. The sec man sighed and folded to the floor, leaving a crimson trail along the rough bricks. Holding an AK-47, Clem stayed outside, trying to act casual in his tight blue shirt and baggy trousers. The Enfield was strapped across his back, his long hair tied in a ponytail and tucked into the collar of the shirt. Only the most cursory glance would fool anybody that he was one of Overton's neatly dressed troops.
Get the wag!
Christy spoke through the door grill as she slid home the bolt. Clem nodded and dashed down the street out of sight. Wiping the mud off his face, Ryan took a position near a locked blaster rack as JB went to work on the padlock holding the chained weapons in place. The device clicked in less than a minute, and the companions all took an AK-47 blaster, then stuffed their pockets with extra clips. JB closed the padlock and broke off the tip of his lockpick inside the mechanism.
I wish them luck opening that again.